This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good afternoon, and welcome down the Tee, Florida. One hack, one entertainer, and a pro on the line today. We've got our we've got half our squad, and we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this July 27th at our 19th hole clubhouse studios, sponsored by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And as I said, we got John Rieger on the lineup at St. Augustine, Tom Gribben in the house. Somebody showed up. Thanks for showing up, my man.
Hey, all the important people are here.
That's exactly right. And we've got, we actually broke into three guys that are scratch golfers. We got Bob, Alex, and Sammy, three scratch golfers, just tearing it up on one of our simulators right now. So we'll be critiquing their swings for you, John Rieger, and you can give them, you know, A to B. These guys are nice players. How are you, John Rieger?
Doing just fine. That'll be the best golf instruction that you'll never see, because we're on radio. So since we're only half of our team today, let's just tie one arm behind our backs, too, while we're at it.
Well, we've got Bill Butner calling in about from North Carolina. He'll be calling in about 6:40. So, well, we've got the two pros and a hack in the house.
Yeah, yeah, and Patty the Cart Girl's in Colorado.
Little Rocky Mountain High while she's out there.
Yes.
Well, good for her. And of course, Perry McNally, the busiest man. You're the most interesting man in St. Petersburg. He has got to be the most busy man.
Yeah, he's busiest.
But we'll be bringing him back into the fold as well. Each and every week, you can hear us now on Thursday from 5 to 7 on FloridaSportsStream.com, RadioSaintPete.com, and, of course, our flagship right here, 106.1 FM, AM 1340, up in Clearwater. Matt on the controls is always taking care of business for us. And great week last week from a golf perspective. The Open, we'll talk about that. John will talk a little bit of Ryder Cup and his John Rieger report. We'll give you the leaderboards here in a minute. We've got the Senior Open. I almost said British. The old guy should be able to say British. I think the senior should be able to say it's the Senior British Open.
They're calling that on TV.
They are?
Yeah, Senior British Open, right, John?
Absolutely. I think what happens is it's just the Open Championship that they use that phrase, but all the others, they just use British. That seems to be the common moniker for it, and I think that, you know, I guess it was 50-50 last week. We kind of put that to bed. You know, we had Gene Elliott on, and, you know, he's won the U.S. Senior Amateur and the British Amateur. They call it the British Senior Amateur, so just like the British Senior Open. In fact, Marco Dawson won that about 5 or 6 years ago, and, you know, he brought home the trophy. I got a good story about that later, but he's local from Lakeland, actually lives in Merritt Island now, but he graduated from Florida Southern, played golf with Lee Jansen. We won 2 U.S. Opens, and Marco won the Senior British Open 1 year. So we'll digress into that a little bit later.
Hey, I got to interrupt you a little bit. Are you in your cavernous house? Because it sounds like you're either in your restroom.
Sounds like you're in the can.
Yeah. It sounds like you're not coming through as clear and as clarified as you typically are.
Well, he's got a lot of echo.
Well, I can take care of that. Normally, I'm sitting on the beach, and there's a thunderstorm, but I think it's gone away, so I'm going to go back out and get into the great outdoors, and so it won't sound like I'm in a Coca-Cola can.
Sounds like you're going to break into a song with that echo.
Yeah, it does. Of course, as I said, speaking of songs and Coca-Cola, we've got our Body Armor. Nice sign next to our Ice Pick Vodka up here at the 19th hole. And we had our first golf league on Monday, Tom, and it was very, very successful. The young guys loved it. But I thought, you know what? I need to be concerned about gender equity. And we're going to start a ladies league on Wednesday. Rieger doesn't know this yet. Did you hear that, John?
Absolutely. In fact, that's going to be a really cool thing to have a ladies golf league there. And, yeah, there's all kinds of different ways you call ladies golf league. Sometimes you call it wine and nine, or chip and dine and nine. So looking forward to that.
Well, you go ahead and name it, since you are our resident expert on putting these tournaments on. By the way, I have to give you a credit where credit's due, and you did a superb job of putting together the leagues and the format, and the guys were impressed. I'm surprised that my ADD allowed me to get it off properly, and take a look at that, Tom. I mean, John, you had every T dotted, every I dotted, every T cross. You did a superb job, man, and I think we're going to have a lot of success with our Ice Pick Vodka. Monday night, Men's League, and then Wednesday night will be the ladies, of course.
All right, so now, you know, I'm heading out of the man cave here, heading out to the beach, and we'll be out of the cavern and into the great wide open, and you might hear seagulls versus echoes.
Hey, I tell you who we forgot to recognize who's not here. He's our newest addition, and he's one guy you do not want to slight. Jeff Ward, of course, your man.
Our golf fitness guy, yeah.
I've been talking to him through text and conversation, and he'll be back in a couple weeks, and he's been a great addition. And last week, basically, it was he and I holding up the fort there for a while. But I appreciate you bringing him into the end of the
night. I was here the first hour, and he took over there.
Yep, he did a superb job. Hey, do you mind before we go into golf? I don't want to gloat too much, but last week, you guys remember who everybody picked, right? Right, Tom? For the Open?
I've forgotten already.
How could you forget that the hack, the worst golfer of all of you?
Only you would celebrate a second-place finish or a third-place finish.
Place. It was first place against all this talent that you have assembled every week. And my guy finished second, John Rahm. Right. So I win.
You're a second place, a runner. Oh,
Ryan Harmon won. We all know that.
You get the runner-up trophy then. Okay, that's great. John and I look for the... He's won the grand prize.
Well, I tell you that when we do get this going with the capability of chatting with our audience, we will do a pick the pro. And everybody that calls in will partner with one of us. And whoever finished the highest, and that's all we did in the Midwest. And we're going to give away golf passes and swag, and that'll be a nice contest. So
that's how you did it in Iowa?
Can we stay out? Hey, since you brought up Iowa, the greatest bike assembly of people biking in the world. It's the 50th anniversary of the Iowa Ragbri, my friend.
Iowa what?
It's called Ragbri.
Oh. Yeah.
Google it. Yeah. It's world famous.
Is it on Google?
It's world famous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It sure is.
John, you know that I won, right? With John Rahm. He got second. And he
absolutely. You know, we need to give credit where credit's due, just like you gave me that tremendous credit, everybody, for my fabulous pick of Brooks Koepka for the PGA Championship. So, you know, kudos to you, Mike. And I guess we're going to have to keep this extended. We're out of major championships, but I guess we'll just have to just jump right into the FedEx Cup predictions coming up. But we got two more PGA Tour events before the FedEx Cup starts. It's the Wyndham Championship up in Charlotte, and this week it's the 3M Open up in Minnesota.
Well, the 3M Open, of course, while we're talking that leaderboard, I'll take a look at it and I'll give it to everybody. Brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Shipyard Brewing. But if you take a look at that tournament, I don't know if you've been watching any of that, Tom. There's a golfer right now that it's just astonishing how this can happen to Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is in a funk. He now is in 75th. 70 qualify for the FedEx playoff. And I watched him today. He was hitting great shots, couldn't make a putt. And in between the ears, John, that is a factor. How does a guy, Ricky Fowler's done it. How in the heck does a guy, he's never missed the FedEx Cup since he started on the tour in 2015, I can think it was. How do you get beyond something like this?
Well, you know, everybody gets into slumps out there. It doesn't, you know, in fact, Jack Nicklaus had a famous slump from 1967 to 70 where he, it took him 3 years to win another major after 1967. So people get in slumps. And, you know, whether it's JT or Jordan Spieth or any other young guy out there, like Ricky Fowler went in a tremendous slump, they come out of it. But I think it's due to two things. One, I think they work too hard on their swing. I think they get a little too technical, mess around with swing coaches. I think Ricky got into that one. And two is they just putt bad. you got to be a great putter, and you got to be a great putter all the time out there. And the sun don't shine on the same dog's tail every day, according to famous tour pro Sam Snead. So putting is the key, and I think that's why they go into slumps.
Well, you know, you feel for him. He's trying to be positive in all these press conferences. You know, his dad has been his instructor for years from out of Louisville. And you feel for a guy like that because he really wants to play in the Ryder Cup. I know you'll be touching that topic later in the show. He really wants to play in the Ryder Cup, and he's a tremendous competitor for the U.S., for the red, white, and blue.
He just has to play through it. It reminds me of that old Yogi Berra quote when he was going through that, and he goes, I'm not in a slump. I just ain't hitting.
I like you got some great lines. Hey, let's take a look at that leaderboard at the 3M. Lee Hodges right now sits on top at 8 under. Ricky Matsuyama in second. It's not really a star stud. Billy Horschel sitting at 7th, tied with Tony Finau, 5 under. And I'm just trying to see where Matt Kuchar. It's one of those events, you know, after the Open where it's not one of the key events. It's fairly new event. It was a Champions Tour event, and I attended it several times going up from Des Moines. But, yeah, I don't see just JT anywhere in the top 40. So he's having another one of those guys. He's just going to have to play through it, apparently.
Well, that's what you got to do. And again, you know, there's only two events left, the 3M Open and then next week the Wyndham up in Charlotte, North Carolina at Segwich Country Club. So I can tell you that they are scrambling right now, those who are on the bubble, to get into the FedEx Cup tournament. You know, JT is not even so much about the Ryder Cup as it is for him to perform well enough to finish high in the FedEx Cup championship because there's a lot of cash at stake on that.
Well, other news today in the world of golf, you see that Jay Monahan returned to his post and delivered a message to his players, and that was interesting. You know, behind the scenes, he put that deal together, Tom, which everybody was, that was a huge mistake. So the statement he came out with, I don't know if you saw it, John, was brief, but it discussed that they were assembling committees now with 5 players. Every move will be made by an independent group or players involved. And that's basically just the old CYA. You know, he's just covering his ass as he returned. And they still haven't mentioned, you know, what his ailment was. I think he just wanted to get out of that freaking pressure cooker that he had created.
Here's a couple things. Yeah, the big announcement that he came out with was the not going along with the USGA and R&A rollback of the distance on the golf ball. That was a big controversial item when the USGA introduced that earlier this year.
Can you explain that one, John?
Well, what it is, it's just like anything else. You know, when you have a basketball or a football in the NBA, or you have a baseball, Major League Baseball, the NFL, you know, they have uniformed balls, and they're all the same, except when Brady deflates his a little bit, maybe it goes a little further, faster. You know, maybe he can grip it better. But in golf, the golf ball is the same golf ball that you and I, Mike and Tom, we could go out and play the same golf ball that, you know, John Rahm plays or Brooks Koepka or somebody. You know, so they've come up with this term called bifurcation, and I know Tom Gribben's, being our resident attorney on the show, would understand what that term means. And basically what it means for golf is that you're going to have a golf ball for the tour pros or the highly skilled players, elite players, however the USGA was wording that, and then you have the golf ball for the rest of us. And it kind of destroys the unity and the bond that you have with your pros, because we can go out and buy the same equipment, use the same balls, and so they want to have it where their ball just won't go as far because they're afraid golf courses are getting obsolete. Because, you know, you have, you know, these guys hitting 9 irons from 200 yards in, so the golf ball's flying so far that it might make some golf courses obsolete. And that's all that is. But the tour is pretty smart about it. It's all about money. And those manufacturers out there, especially Titleist, they don't want to see a rollback. They want you to buy the golf ball that Tiger plays or anybody else plays. And that's what the rollback is.
Well, and the players who get the endorsement money, they don't want that to take place. They want to endorse that ball, whether it's Bridgestone or it doesn't matter the title, they want to endorse that.
And it's all about the science. I mean, each year they come up with a, you know, better club and a better ball.
Well, and the reality is, John said, they're outgrowing these courses, like the L.A. Country Club, you know, the older tracks, the ones that I really love to watch, you know, the older tracks that are tighter, shorter, you know, the equipment's, it's outgrown. By the way, update on Justin Thomas, who we talked about a little earlier. He is sitting in 82nd place and even through 11. So JT certainly 8 strokes off the lead, and it doesn't bode well for him.
You know, talking about Monahan.
Let's not let go ahead, Tom.
I just want to, as an aside to the Monahan thing, if you saw that the one of the most famous soccer players in the world, Mbappe, just turned down close to $800 million for a one-year contract.
From the Saudis.
From the Saudi league.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he turned it down. 790-something million.
Did he have a reason for turning it down?
He just didn't. And he's going to accept like $300 million from whatever club. You know.
So $500 million delta?
For 1 year. It was a one-year deal, and he didn't take it.
Oh, my God. What kind of deal did Messi get?
You know, nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
Yeah, and you know, Ronaldo, you know, he went to the Saudi league.
Yep.
And so they were going after Mbappe, and they offered him all that money. And, you know, how do you turn that down for 1 year? I mean, you could always go back. And he's only, what, 25 or 26, something like that?
Wow. It's got to be some very deep religious commitment. And I'm not faulting the man, but my God, $500 million?
More than that for 1 year.
For 1 year.
You know, for our listeners out there, if you want to hear sports talk like this, 11 to 1 on Saturday, same bat station, a little bit different time, 11 a.m., the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with Mike Rickard and his cast there. So you'll hear that kind of sports banter there. Even on a golf show, it bleeds over. So popular.
Hey, I am not going to ever stop the gentleman who has assembled this wide variety of entertainment. When he's got a topic, people stop and listen.
It just all started with the Liv, you know, John. It started with the Liv.
Don't get him on Liv.
I'm just saying it's bleeding over into other sports. That's the only way, now they're about ready to buy an NBA team. So.
Exactly.
So let's just go back to golf. You're right.
Okay. Hey, you got that leaderboard?
We're not going to let's not let Jay Monahan off the hook just yet, because he also came out with this player benefit program for those who didn't go into the Liv Golf and felt screwed out of money because they didn't. And some sort of player discipline program from Liv golfers if they ever want to come back and play on the PGA Tour.
Right.
And it's kind of a strange conversation to me, because all that, you know, in that agreement hasn't been settled. In fact, the Liv golfers are telling us all that Liv golf's going to be there for a while, and they're not going to disappear, you know. And I'm not sure, you know, if Jay Monahan did his homework while he was gone. They're still talking, you know, and I don't understand this about penalizing or no benefit. Giving more money to players that didn't go to Liv Golf. You were free to go, and he did. And people went there, they got a payday. And if you didn't go, you didn't get a payday. And so why would you be rewarded for making a no decision where everybody else went, and they get punished for making a yes decision?
It's just emotional, John. I mean, there are a lot of people that feel like, you know, Tiger, who was offered a lot of money, and Rory, and you know, for them not to cash in on the $200 million deal and get to play in their shorts and 54 holes and all that stuff. You know, they just, it's an equity thing. I'm with you. I'm not sure how you make that fair, but it's just an emotional response.
That must be, and I guess that's where things are heading. They still have quite a bit to shake out. In fact, when we talk about the Ryder Cup later, we'll talk about a new sponsor for the Ryder Cup, and that didn't surprise me who they were, but it's interesting to see how these sponsors are lining up either with Liv Golf or the PGA Tour.
Hey, let's talk a little bit. We've got some time. Let's talk a little bit about last week's Open. Brian Harman, of course, just basically running away with it, if you want to use that term, on Sunday. You know, he slept on the lead for one of the first.
I wound up rooting for him. I was impressed with his game.
Well, John had shared that story.
Yeah, beautiful story.
And I just love humble guys like that. You know, he's a simpleton. He's part of that. He doesn't have an issue with it. And unfortunately, the global media, especially the English media, you know, they wanted somebody who can bring some scandalous story, or was exciting or
just
flashy,
an exciting, sexy person.
He's just a Georgia good old boy, and they didn't like that.
Well, you know, the fans over there were very brutal. They were obviously rooting for Tommy Fleetwood, the local, or even Rory. And Brian was just first class all the way. Never flinched, never bothered him. He never got upset with it. In fact, at his press conference, he said something to the effect that he was kind of happy they were being so rude to him because it made him play better and harder.
It motivated him, yeah. Yeah, that one particular comment about, you know, he doesn't have the stones for it.
And you know what's really amazing? You know, they give him a hard time about his distance off the tee. You know, I mean, he's still hitting it out there 300 yards. He's 5'7". So 5'7", he's hitting it out. He's like a Jeff Sluman. You know, he can still play. He doesn't have the length advantage of like a Rory, but it was really good to see a player of his caliber be able to work the golf ball around and play the golf course from a strategic standpoint versus just bombing it out there and finding it and hitting wedge on it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tame course for a few days, and whether it was tame or whether when it started raining, he was consistent. It was fun to see.
Yeah, but just an all-around good guy from Savannah, Georgia there, a big University of Georgia fan, obviously, since he went and played on the golf team there. And so good guys win, and that put him right up in there in the Ryder Cup conversation, probably locked him on as a playing spot for the Ryder Cup, and we'll talk about that later.
And the other Georgia guy, the amateur, he just faded. He had all that
Georgia Tech.
The first day, first day he was all over the news.
15 inches taller than the winner.
Yeah,
15 inches taller than him. Hey, we also you know, when you take a look at my pick, John Rahm, he was actually 87th on Thursday. And the way that he shot that sizzling 63 and broke the record, now that was impressive.
I thought of you. I started rooting for John Rahm. I thought, you know what?
And then you realize I picked him. And you realize I picked him.
No. My hat's off to you, really. Because I really like John Rahm.
So do I. Well, you even said that might have been your pick.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, remember I told you he uses the same putter I do. I have an affinity for him, but I thought of you when he
probably thinks about that when he's using it. Yeah. Is this the one Gribben uses? I'm sure he does. Yeah. But that was impressive. But again, Roy McIlroy, John, I love the guy. I didn't before, but I do now. And it's just sad, that, you know, he, how many years has it been? 14?
Oh, since he's won a major? Yeah, since 2014, he has, and I think he's been in the top 10, I believe, like 8 or 9 times out of the last 10 majors, and just been close. He just hasn't been able to close the deal. Last year was probably the biggest heartbreaker for him because he went out, made 18 pars, and he lost to Cam Smith over at the old course at St. Andrews. And I think that Roy, he's right there. He's very consistent, but he's just not able to close the deal to the majors. But at the same time, the beauty of his game, just like Jack Nicklaus, I don't have the stat in front of me, but not only did Jack win the most major championships, but I think Jack finished second in major championships like
that's correct. That's
30
correct.
Times or something. And so, yeah. You know, I mean, and he finished third like, you know, like 25 or 30 times. So it all was, you know, he wasn't out of the top three very much in his entire career with the major championships out there. So Roy's putting that kind of career together. But I think that people's expectations of him, when he came out, he got such a fast start that he was supposed to be the replacement for Tiger Woods out there, you know, to take the throne from Tiger down the road. Just hasn't turned out about it, but he's still got it. I think he just needs to stay out of all the controversy. He's been, the spokesman for the PGA Tour players, even though he's from Europe and Northern Ireland there. But he plays on the PGA Tour full time. And I think that, and he's kind of carried the water for the tour players out there versus the live golf thing. But Rory just needs to stay out of the politics, focus on his game, and go forward.
He's not much taller than the winner, though, right? And he generates a heck of a lot of power.
A tremendous amount.
What is Rory, 5'8"?
I think Roy's a little taller than that, I think. But, you know, he does generate a tremendous amount of power, and he's probably the best driver in the game. But the problem is, he just hasn't improved his putting like he has improved his driving.
You're listening On the Tee, Florida. We're live from the Fergs Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and our good friends at Shipyard Brewing and Sea Dogs where they are serving breakfast daily. And Tom and I didn't get over this week, but we will here shortly. We'll do this leaderboard, and then we're going to talk a little entertainment. A gentleman that the king of entertainment. You love entertainment, Tom. It's been your career, and we're going to have Tom Davidson on. But I'm sure there's people driving home right now that like to know what's going on across the pond. And like us, they didn't have the luxury of watching it all day or all morning. And on top of the leaderboard is our favorite contortionist, Miguel Ángel Jiménez at 5 under. Alex Checa sits back at 3 under. Joss Singh and Vijay Singh shared at 2 under. And that Joss Singh's got an incredible story of how he got to where he is today in the world of golf. Amazing story, commitment to his passion for the game. Let's see any other names that we really thought would be making a move today. The favorite was Bernhard Langer, Bernhard Langer was one of them, and then Padraig Harrington. Don't see either one of them in the top 20. But that's interesting to watch. And their weather, John, this morning was a little bit comparable to what took place on Sunday in the Open, with the exception of the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it's fun that they have the British Senior Open right after the Open Championship. I don't think there's too many. I think Padraig Harrington is playing in both right now. I don't remember the other senior touring pro that played in the Open that's also going to play in the Senior British Open. But yeah, it's back to back. You know, the weather this time of year, it's really something. I mean, no wonder these people have no tans over there, and they come over here and they look like rock lobsters when they go to Disney or something, because it doesn't seem like the sun never shines over there. Every time I've been there, the sun hasn't shone, and I watched golf on TV for all these years. I get to see a sunny, bright, nice, warm day over there, even in the middle of the summer.
You know, we learned a term over there, John, for the weather when we were over there touring with the band, and they put this on the weather report in the afternoon or whatever. They call them sunny intervals. And today we'll have sunny intervals. And we used to go,
oh boy,
sunny intervals, where you go out, you run out for an hour, and then you run back in when the clouds come back.
And you're from Florida. Hey, here's a guy from Florida, all over the state. Golf Today with Matt Donovan. You name the event, the charity event, anything that generates goodwill in the communities across this entire state. And he and his lovely bride bring his traveling road show to a track near you. And I just enjoy this, gentleman. Thanks for taking time to join us, Matt Davidson. How you been, brother?
Yeah, everything's good. It's Matt Donovan. But anyway, boys, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. You?
Hanging in there. I'm hoping this weather will stop. We had 11 tournaments so far this month. We've only done 2. We've been rained out, rescheduled. So hopefully it stays off this weekend. I'm over in Daytona Beach right now. Got a tournament tomorrow, and then one in Jacksonville on Saturday.
How do you keep this
case
up?
Well, for our listeners out there, for our listeners out there, they need to know a little bit more about Matt. And Matt does travel the state. And one of the unique things he has, I mean, he does marketing, he does promotions, does special events and tournaments, but the coolest, most funnest thing that he does that helps these charities raise a lot of money, it's called Tee Shot Blaster. Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Tee Shot Blaster?
Well, the Tee Shot Blaster started back probably about 10 to 11 years ago, and it looks like a 50-cal replica. It's all pneumatic, runs off of nitrogen. We recently just had our 5th hole-in-1 at Innisbrook for all the superintendents of the Bay Area on Copperhead number 11, 538 yards out. It happened to be the vice president, Stephen Renew, of Toro Lawnmowers. So it was a great day, a lot of fun, and a lot of drinking was going on afterwards.
Well, you know, I don't know if you were watching TV, you're watching the hearings about the UFO hearings this week. And they had some pilots on from McGill Air Force Base, and they said that it was a T-blaster. It wasn't a UAP. It was from this planet. It was just a T-blaster on the 9th hole down at McGill Air Force Base. So that was in the radar screen.
John, we get crazy compliments, and obviously you and Mike have both shot it. And just to see your facial expressions and look back at me and go, are you kidding me? I can't. I mean, the thing speaks for itself. you know, air, wind, rain, it does have an effect on it. But, you know, we, knock on wood, we've had a great time, a great experience. And most of all is helping out these charities, high schools, churches. I do a lot of celebrity tournaments. Just got done with Johnny Damon over in Orlando. We did Alonzo Mourning down by me in West Palm Beach. So, you know, as long as we can get out there and help them. But, you know, it's not just the T-Shot Blaster. I have a partner, Scott Malatesta, Kim Malatesta, that live out in Cheval. And Scott owns a company called A Solo One. So he helps us with the insurance. So we can actually cover 5 holes in a golf tournament. So if you guys need to see anything like this, you know, call us. You can get a hold of Scott at www.acehio.com. And then obviously you can get a hold of us at www.golftodaychallenge.com.
Well, hey, Matt, I'm going to give
I know this thing blasted like, gosh, 400, 450. I don't know what the maximum range is. Has anybody ever made a hole in one with one of these things?
Which I was just telling you guys, we just recently had one at Innisbrook, Copperhead, number 11, for the superintendent tournament. It was the vice president of Toro Lawnmowers against Stephen Renew, 538 yards out.
Matt, you'll have to excuse John. I forced him outside to the beach, and he's kind of editing my delivery, which is not easy as I stumble, fumble, and bumble. But he may be a little bit preoccupied being on the beach and didn't hear your fifth.
It's the Stogies. There's probably a small cocktail in him, but you know that exactly. John deserves all that.
He certainly
does.
Mike,
I tell you, hold on a sec, Mike. We had to have a cleanup in aisle 5 because our very first guest on the show today, you mispronounced his name.
I know. It's Donovan. I knew it was Donovan, but I typed in to the studio, and it picked up and went Davidson. So I just looked up. And,
I've been called worse, but it's okay.
No problem. But you can't. You're not using me as an excuse that you can't hear up there.
I don't need you to do your own thing.
Thank you, Matt. That's the ice pig vodka going to his brain this early. But it is happy hour. Now we are on from 5 to 7. It's happy hour. It was taboo in the past because it was, it's not taboo. We were on at 11 a.m. on Saturday. It's never taboo. But,
right.
You know, when we came out to the Super Bowl of golf and I saw that baby, as you said, and John and I drove over there. You videoed it or somebody videoed it, and the look on my face, I showed it to people. It was absolutely one of the coolest things that I have ever done. It reminded me of a potato gun, up north.
Yeah, on steroids.
Exactly. Yeah, potato gun on steroids.
But listen, you know, it's just what warms my heart and makes me feel good is when we're out there doing it. You know, I have full liability insurance. Knock on wood, we've never had a mishap, but it's the facial expressions and, you know, the gestures and what people say and what comes out of their mouth after they pull the trigger on it it's heartwarming.
How did you discover this and when did you start implementing it into golf now?
Golf today. I had a partner one time, and he was a Marine, and he approached me. We saw some guys with the handheld ones. I like them. I've got one, but my involvement with the PGA Tour for Birdies for the Brave that I've been doing for years for all the TPC courses here in Florida, it got to a point where I had older gentlemen. I had amputees. We used to have them down in a prone position. It was really, really tough getting them off the ground. And one thing led to another. Need a tabletop. I like it more because of, you know, liability. You're not holding a handheld, even though there's air in it. There's not a ball in it yet. And you bump somebody on the tee box, you have a couple of cocktails, you don't know what's going to happen. And I recently just heard it happen at Bardmore, I think. There was a gentleman that decided to go on his own, buy his own handheld gun, supposedly ball that got lodged in the cylinder. He decided to turn it upside down, look down the barrel, and tap it, and it misfired.
Oh, my
God. And shot him in the face. I didn't hear anything else from it. We got approached at a tournament, and a gentleman came up to Rose and mentioned it to her, saying, hey, I'm glad you guys are doing it your way, because I happened to be on the tee box that day and witnessed it. It was the saddest thing I ever seen. But, you know, my thing is safety, liability, and let's have fun and see how much money we can raise for the charities.
Well, you're the man. We'll be getting a hold of you. We've got several events, and we're putting together this entertainment traveling roadshow ourselves. So we need to mail that. I think you've got several of those contraptions laying around somewhere, don't you?
Yes, I do. So I can do up to 3 tournaments a day. You know, if I have staff that are available. I got a gentleman in Tampa that helps me a lot, Hayden Lewis. And I got a guy over in Palm Beach where I live, family relative.
Well, no offense to you, but we have Patty the cart girl, and she's kind of a tomboy type attractive young lady. And maybe we'll have to have you train her, and we'll take one out to some of the events that we're planning on attending in 2023 and 24.
You got it. Whatever you guys need, you call me. You know where I'm at, and I will be seeing you guys here soon. I will be over in the Bay Area the middle part of August, throughout that whole month, and then I head up to New York to do my 9/11 tournament starting on September the 8th.
Hey, I might have you call in from there, because we've got I got a great friend doing a pickleball event up there. Same time, I've got Billy McGee's going to be up there doing a pickleball. He's from Fort Myers, so I might have you on the air.
Let's do it. Call me on September the 7th. It'll be a Thursday, because the tournament is that next Friday morning on September the 8th, and I'm actually doing it for a gentleman for St. Troops who does one every year at West Chase. So let me know, and it's for him.
All right. Well, he is Matt Donovan, not to be Matt Davidson, unless you need an alias once in a while. Tell your lovely bride, Rose, hello, and I appreciate you taking time, brother.
You got it. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys soon.
How many hole-in-ones have you ever had there?
So far with the Tee Shot Blaster, that is my 4th one. And then with my other partners at Overall Guns, that is the 8th one total.
Oh, okay. All right. I just got to pimp out John Rager. Hey, John, ready to take a break, brother?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, guys, listen, you guys take care of yourselves.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great one.
All right. Bye.
We'll be back here live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, with the John Rager Report. We'll be right back.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back this Saturday. Join us Saturday, July 29th at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg as the Rowdies take on FC Tulsa at 7:30 p.m. Experience 90 minutes of action-packed soccer you won't want to miss. Join us for our Pride Night celebration and get your tickets now by calling 727-222-2000 or visiting us at www.rowdiesoccer.com. We'll see you at Al Lang Saturday, July 29th at 7:30 p.m. Come on, you Rowdies!
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action, with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back on the tee, Florida. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We've got quite a match. Sammy, Bob, and Alex, we interrupted their little event up here at Ferg's. You can rent a simulator. Just go online to onthetflorida.com. And John Rager's got things set up there. And of course, you can go to Ferg's as well. Why don't you, I think there's a Scott in the house. And I think Ivor McTavish, caddy to the Hacks, is here. And appropriate because of the fact that we have the British Open, the Senior British Open. And I know that John was looking forward to hearing from him. Mr. McTavish, it's great to see you again, Ivor. I don't have you, brother.
Here, use my mic.
We got a mic right there. See, we went with our new program.
How about now?
How about that?
All righty.
Ivor McTavish in the house at the Scott.
Did I understand correctly that John's here with us too?
John Rager is here.
Oh, that John Rager. It's up my hair. He's got a big stick. Club, that is.
That's what I've been told. I've never seen him out on the.
He can drive it right home.
I've never seen him.
Hey, Scotty, I'm getting longer as I get older.
I've never seen him on the course or at the locker room.
Well, I come to you today because I'm going to bring you the tip of the week for this week. Okay, it's often necessary to hit a second drive to really appreciate the first one.
That's
John, would you agree? Are you there, Lonnie?
I would agree.
Okay, and then also, I want to ask you, John, my good friend, well, almost my friend, and I'm trying to make him as my employer, but Paul Lowry, he's at minus one right now.
Paul Lowry is at one minus one at the Open.
Yeah, he lived down the street from me.
I love Paul Lowry. Have you had a few pints with Paul Lowry?
Well, I, like I said, he's almost my friend, and I'm trying to get to be his caddy.
I would,
maybe you can put in a good word for me.
Well, I'm sure that John can. I'm still concerned. He still threw a curve at me. I had not seen John's. He brought his club, sir. I didn't look at the size of the shaft though. When he was here a couple of weeks ago, when he met you.
Well, John would be happy that you're not wearing that flowery shirt this week.
Hey, that was that's
what
my.
What is
back,
my hey, Alan? What's our friend wearing this week? What's Mike wearing this week?
He's in uniform today. He's got on the T-shirt on. Looking good. But he's still wearing that Masters hat that he hasn't worn yet.
Oh, Mike, they have a dress code down there tonight? He's wearing a T-shirt, no collared shirt.
That's a T-shirt, but it does say on the T. And he's got on a nice hat that has a Masters emblem on the top of it.
And you told me that I couldn't wear a Masters hat until the Masters? Are you the one that told me that, Tom?
It's okay to wear it now because the Open Championship was the last major and it's over. So I guess you can wait. There's 178 days till the Masters now. So go right ahead and start wearing it.
Well, I think I gave you my my Open hat out of appreciation for your commitment to On the Tee Florida. That was one of my favorite hats. That's how much I love you, Johnny.
Well, I really know the backstory to that, but I do appreciate getting that hat. I told my wife the true backstory to that hat the other day, and she kind of giggled at that, but love that hat.
Well, Ivor, I appreciate you stopping. We'll do what we can to reach out to Paul Lowry for you.
I appreciate that, and I'll be back up later to help you put your stuff away, okay?
You're a good man, Ivor McTavish. Caddy to the Hacks, for a quick little mention. During the British Open, the Senior British Open. Now let's transition to our John Rager report. You want to talk a little Ryder Cup, I believe?
Yeah, let's talk a little Ryder Cup. This is the John Rager report. What we try to do is post something of interest to our listeners out there. We do it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And what we try to do there is get you up to date with what we're doing, but also what's going on in the world of golf. So we thought it'd be very appropriate, since everybody's starting to talk about the Ryder Cup now, to do a John Rigg report on it. And just our listeners, I have to remind you, if you want to get links to all these social media places that you can go see this report and see other things for On the Tee Florida, just go to onthetfloridagolf.com, onthetfloridagolf.com. That's our website out there. Come take a visit. It'll link you over to the John Rigg Report, link you to our sponsors. It'll link you to our Monday Night League, where you can sign up for that. We'll talk about the league a little bit later in the broadcast. And also, you can become a member of the E-Club, the Ferg's 19th-hole clubhouse sports and golf membership, powered by On the Tee Florida Golf. And what you can do is sign up. It's free. And get into drawings for Rays tickets, Rowdy's tickets, all kinds of great merchandise. And even the shirt off of Mike's back there, you can even win that T-shirt he's wearing tonight. He'll sign it with a Sharpie.
I actually did give out a couple the other night. I tell you what, people were very, very impressed, my friend, that participated. We had nine players, and actually, since we kind of consider it an exhibition week, I've got a couple more players that are signing up tomorrow. And we'll probably end up with 12 to 14, which will be superb. And we'll have some great Mondays up here.
Yeah, not to digress too much from the John Rigg Report, but yeah, we have an upper and lower in the clubhouse simulator. So we can actually have an upper and lower bracket in our league. And we do a little round robin. It's a singles league. Only costs you $99. You can have some fun. It'll end mid-September. We'll run it for another 7 more weeks and do it every Monday night, have some fun, enjoy some Ferg's hospitality, some great craft beer, and some great food there. So let's get on and talk about the Ryder Cup. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about was how the teams are selected. And they're a little bit different for each side, but they're very similar. Years ago, the American team would have the top 12 qualified by points. They would automatically take the top 10 and get two captain's picks, but they felt that they needed to change it throughout the years because they were losing every year and they didn't really get the right picks at the right time. And we all know from a golfer standpoint, somebody could be, you know, hot as Hades out there and win a tournament, just blow everybody away. The next week they miss the cut. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you're playing well a year ago, you're still going to be, and you've amassed a lot of points, that you're going to be playing well for the Ryder Cup 2 weeks away. So what they do is actually have half the team by points, half the team by captain's picks. And what they do on the American side, our captain Zach Johnson, what he'll do is he'll have his six automatic qualifiers, and they'll do this up until the BMW Championship. All right, and then what'll happen is they'll have the six automatic points. One person's already qualified for the team; he's in the top six, but mathematically he can't not miss and not make the team. It's Scottie Scheffler. So they announced today that, you know, he automatically is going to be on the Ryder Cup team, so he's the first one to earn his way on. And then what Zach Johnson does, he'll wait till the end of the Tour Championship, which is the FedEx Cup Tour Championship, and he'll wait until that concludes, and that next day he'll make just six picks. Now, the European players do it a little bit differently. They do still have the six that qualify from the European list and a world point list, and they do have the six captains, but, you know, they go a little bit later. You know, they wait an extra week later, and I'm not sure why they do it. I know that it concludes with their championship in Europe, but they do wait just a little bit longer than the Americans do. So that's how the picks are made. Now, for listeners out there, they're playing this just outside Rome, Italy. Okay, so it's about an hour's drive out there. It's called Marco Simone, and I'm not sure if that's the American pronunciation of an Italian golf course or what have you, but Marco Simone Golf and Country Club. And they're going to host the 2023 Ryder Cup, and it's a stadium golf course, which is very interesting. So, you know, I thought that you go over to Europe and you get an exotic European course, and it looks like TPC Sawgrass. So we're going to see how that goes with the Ryder Cup there. That's like having the Ryder Cup at TPC Sawgrass when you start talking about stadium courses and small elevated greens and island greens and that kind of stuff. But interesting enough, it's on the countryside. They call it the stunning Roman countryside. Sounds like they're trying to sell real estate with a restored 11th century castle, rolling fairways and undulating greens. It makes you want to go buy a lot on the 18th hole there and look out. But that's the place that will be staging the Ryder Cup. And so now, and just like we talked about earlier in the broadcast, you've got JT, you got Justin Thomas playing this week's 3D, you know, not 3D, I guess it's 3M. he's playing in 3D, but he's it's
3M Open. The 3M Open.
That's the 3M Open. So he's playing in that, but he's actually trying to play also next week in the Wyndham because he's got to get in the top 70. He's got to get in the top 70 of the FedEx Cup, and he's also got to work his way in to try to get enough points to be able to play in the Tour Championship and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does with that. So what the storyline is going to be the next 2 weeks here is follow along closely not only who's going to win the tournament on the PGA Tour, but who's going to move themselves up on the points list. And, you know, what could happen, it has happened in the past, where you get somebody gets really hot for 1 month. They get in the FedEx Cup playoffs, they get hot, they win one of the tournaments there, and all of a sudden in 1 month they've accumulated enough points to either be on the team or be considered for a captain's pick. So it's all heavily weighted to the end of the season. So, again, I don't know if that necessarily equates to performance when it comes to the Ryder Cup. Just because you had that hot month in the FedEx Cup playoffs, then you get to the Ryder Cup, you know, a couple of weeks later, and then you're just, you know, you're cold as a lump of coal. So not quite sure how that works out. But anyway, that's the John Regan Report. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Follow along on us. Go to onthetfloridagolf.com and have some fun. And we try to provide a little bit of controversial, interesting topics out there for our listeners.
Well, do you think that Tom's man, Brooks Koepka, will be a part of that team?
Well, here's my part of it. Right now, I believe he's like number six in the points. So he's right there in the point getters, but he's not playing in any tournaments that gives him points
exactly.
to qualify on it. And that's going to be a real interesting situation because chances are somebody might move by him in points. And if they do, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Zach Johnson would get up there and pick him as the captain.
Hold the presses, John Rager. He just walked in. We haven't seen him for a couple of years now, and he is Kerry McNally. Kind enough to take some time. I'd introduced him. He's our resident comedian and the busiest man in St. Petersburg, and he is Kerry McNally. And I welcome you back to the airwaves. You know that's a microphone in front of you, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay,
I do.
And you know how to navigate around that a little bit?
I'm quite.
We only have a minute, but okay. We're going to have a blast in the second hour because we brought you back. Thank you for taking time to come down. We were just trying to figure out, you know, who we were going to get for a replacement. We were on Indeed, but nobody could ever fill your shoes.
Oh, thanks.
We're about to drag Ferg up here.
Oh boy!
Yeah, well,
that's like watching paint dry.
Yeah, Ferg likes to host entertainment. He just isn't good at delivering it from a personal standpoint.
Ouch!
But John Rager, when we come back, we've got plenty to talk about. And one of the entertaining things I want to talk about is I want to talk a little bit about Tony Bennett. And, of course, Tom Gribben is the man that can talk about Tony Bennett. A little entertainment there. And we didn't touch upon Liverpool. And we didn't touch upon him last week when we need to do that. And now we've got some more content coming our way from Kerry McNally. So we'll be back in the second hour. We've got some interviews. We'll talk to Bill Butner, our main man up in North Carolina, and then we've got a conversation with a gentleman that you lined up, and that of course is Steve Pike. So we'll be back on the T Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.